Hey friends, before we dive in, my new book, Sowing a Hidden Seed, Daily Prayers for Your Child's Spiritual Growth, is out now, available on intentionalparents.org exclusively, so go check that out. Christmas is coming. What a great Christmas present to get your family praying. And don't miss our upcoming retreats, the Intentional Fatherhood Retreat, February 19 through 21, 2026, in Costa Mesa, California, and the Intentional Motherhood Retreat. We announced this April 23rd through 25th, 2026 in Franklin, Tennessee. Please come out and know that early bird pricing is on both of those events, so check that out. These retreats are spaces to pause, breathe, and invest in your spiritual formation as a parent. So learn more, get your tickets now at intentionalparents.org, and let's get into this week's episode. All right, Phil and I wanted to take a minute and let you know about something cool. Phil, you ready to let the people know about something cool?
I am ready.
We have something called the Intentional Leadership Retreat. It is in Lake Tahoe, and it is from Tuesday, June 20th through Friday, June 23rd. Tell us what it's about.
Well, everyone might not know it's Lake Tahoe, California, but it is.
Yes.
Yeah, one of the things we love to do in Intentional is we feel called to strengthen the local church through helping parents, but also helping pastors. And so if you're a pastor, lead pastor, associate pastor, and you want to come and bring some of your elders or ministry team leaders just for a week of refreshment and encouragement and teaching, we have sessions in the morning, sessions at night, and it's just one of the most beautiful places in all of California that you have the afternoons free to hang out and get some rest, hang out with your team. And so we do this. This will be our third year. I think we've done it.
Third year. And a great announcement is Jerry Sitzer is going to be speaking there this year. You and Diane are going to be there. John Mark Comer, your son, is doing a Q&R. It's going to be a great time. So join us this coming June 20th through the 23rd. The link is in the show notes, or you can always go to intentionalparents.org/leadership retreat. Welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. Intentional exists to help parents in their God-given task to raise passionate Jesus followers. We exist to bring hope, help, and healing to families. Each week, we will talk about anything from parenting, marriage, lifestyle, and what it looks like to follow Jesus in our time. Intentional is made up of Phil and Diane Comer and Brooke and Elizabeth Moser. I am Brooke, and the funny thing is, we are all family. Elizabeth is Phil and Diane's daughter, so we're a family figuring this thing out together. We hope this podcast feels like you're sitting with us in our home talking about how to do this thing called life together. Elizabeth and I are your hosts. Let's get into this week's podcast. All right, ladies, are you ready for today?
Yeah.
You know what's so great? You know what's great is I get to be here today with Elizabeth and Diane. Phil might join us later. He was in the middle of actually helping pick up some of our kids from school because one of them's not feeling well. So thank you, Phil. Mm-hmm. So you might hear him later on this. We're not sure if he'll be back in time. But welcome to the Intentional Parents Podcast. And we're so glad that you're listening and taking time. And thank you for everybody that's rated the podcast and subscribed. And it's incredibly helpful to engage with you through that medium. So if you, whatever platform you listen on, would you please feel free to rate the podcast and subscribe so you know when new content comes up? And then also just leave a review. It's good to know how this is impacting you. And we love to hear that and we love to know. So that is just super helpful. So please take a minute to do that. And today, I know we've had a couple weeks off, but we are so happy to be sitting down together and are excited about our conversation, genuinely. Mm-hmm. And it took us a long time, actually, to even hit record today because we just kept talking. We're like, oh my goodness, what about this?
And
this?
So and that could be an episode.
Yeah,
and that
so
could
we just decided we just got to stop. We just got to focus and we got to go. So we're really happy. But today, ladies, how are you coming into today? How are you both feeling? Give us an update really quick before we get into the bulk of this episode. Who's going first? I love catching you both on guard.
I have the first word that comes out of every mom's mouth. Tired.
Yeah.
That's currently, is that a feeling?
You were trying to quit. You were trying to quit life yesterday. It's just like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do this. I can't do that. Yeah, it was, you were feeling
a little better today.
A little overwhelmed yesterday, right?
Yesterday, yes.
Feeling a little better today. I'm just feeling really excited about this episode, partly because I see everything through the lens now with our podcast, especially mm-hmm. and our teaching with intentional parents of, I wish I had understood that.
Yeah. Yeah.
If only somebody had talked about this, I would have just latched onto it so quickly. So I'm really excited about this episode in particular, because I think, gosh, I would have benefited. I would have soaked this up as a sponge. And I know there are a lot of people listening who are like I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wanting so much to connect our children to the heart of God.
Yes.
And to develop even an identity that is just so based on how God actually views them and how he created them, that they just want to do anything they can. And I think that's really kind of what we've been talking about for the last hour at least.
And now you're only a couple months away now from graduating school, which is so exciting. I can't believe, I'm so proud of you for doing this. We talked about this offline, but I it's such an exciting time. And what's the day again that you actually graduate? Is April what?
Well, I think
that's still
like
walking.
April,
that's somewhere.
Oh, I'm not a good day person. But here's the odd thing. I walk with my class in April, end of April, but then I'll still be a semester short of actually getting that piece of paper. So I will still, then I will start my last day of actual school is July 29th.
And I think that's so cool. At 63
that
you're graduating.
I'll be 64 when I graduate.
64. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's been like the best decision I've ever made. I feel like it's just ignited my brain and my heart to, I feel like I just have so much information that I want to pour into intentional as long as I have breath and a pen that you write, or fingers that work on a computer.
Yeah.
The nice thing is, as long as you keep your faculties and your ability to communicate, you can do this all the way up. You know, it's just amazing how when you are in that space of idea forming and helping people understand and teaching, you can actually do that for much longer than any sort of physical job. So your
but
best years
also,
are yet to come.
I also feel like that should just give so much hope. I was going to say to moms, but I think to parents.
To people.
Yeah.
To
in humans. General, you know, we're kind of fed this constant idea that we have to be really successful really young and do all these impactful, meaningful, world-changing things starting in our 20s if we're ever going to be successful and have a platform. And I just think you're really blowing that idea out of the water. Right. And I don't know a lot of people like you, but I know a few who way later in life went back to school or did something totally different and are having their most impactful years way later. And that's so encouraging to me, because how often are we distracted from raising our kids because we're trying to build that that's into good. Our life? Yeah. When I just wonder if God just sometimes chuckles and is like, would you just relax? Like,
I have
something that you don't even know that you're going to be doing.
I think so too.
You don't have to look so hard to try to find it. And some people, they do start it really young and they're building something and, you know.
Yeah.
But that's not, that doesn't always have to be the case.
No. You know, I wanted to go to school for a long time, but every time I looked at it, there was real legitimate reasons why I couldn't do this. So this has been just the perfect time for me. It's not convenient by any means. I mean, I moved in the middle of a semester. I mean, it's pretty intense.
Yeah.
But it is the right time. I think I agree with you, Elizabeth. I think a lot of people in their young parenting years, you're just doing well to put food on the table and pay your lighting bills and take care of your kids. And out of all sorts of parts of your story of your life, a message, a life message is developing. And that is a really important message the rest of the world needs to hear, whether it's on a podcast or in a neighborhood conversation or in talking with your kids. We're influencers. And the older we get, hopefully, the more seeped in scriptures we are. And the more we're trying to understand a way to make the scriptures make sense into our real lives, the more impact that we can have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's bring a new meaning to the word influencer that has nothing to do with Instagram. Yes.
I hope that I am influencing my granddaughters right now.
Yeah.
That some of my studies are going to change the way they think about being a woman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As, you know, so yeah.
I love that.
I hope that. That's probably the biggest impact I could have on this world is if I help my granddaughters
do this.
Understand who they are and who God intended them to be.
Well, today we're going to talk about something that I know that Diane, you've been reading, and Elizabeth, you've actually been reading a different book by the same author, but we have some concepts taken from this book, The Best of You, Dr. Allison Cook, and we'll put those books in the show notes. And the title's a little unfortunate, meaning like it's a little self-helpy, excuse me, for our language. We don't necessarily always buy into like, hey, the best thing to do is just believe in yourself so much because we believe.
Which is not actually what the book's about.
Yeah. It's basically the other part.
How do you live in the spirit-filled version of yourself, which is the best of you? Like you're offering your best to the world when you're
but
filled with
the
spirit.
But as far as selling books, it makes sense.
And in spiritual formation language, which I'm really drawn to, it is your true self.
Your true self.
Helping your child to discover their true self rather than always trying to live to please other people.
But that would sell less books, I'm sure. That would sell less books for sure. So, so the one thing that we want to talk today, the concept that we want to talk about today is a parent's responsibility to help their child understand who they are. Mm-hmm. And that you actually do have a responsibility to help your child understand who they are. We have five things, again, some of the concepts taken from that book, but we're going to talk about them through our lens, through our language, and through what the scriptures really say, because there's a lot that the Bible says about this specifically. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about it. So we'll go through them, but before we go through them, Diane, do you want to kind of, I know there's a couple things you wanted to share, so why don't you share before we get in?
Well, just this one sentence. A parent holds the very first mirror up to help their child see themselves as God does.
Got it.
That is, to me, I just want to memorize that and have it written down. A parent holds the very first mirror up to help their child see themselves as God does. You know, the whole world is going to send your child messages about how they ought to be and what, how to get approval and how people will like them for a girl, how boys will be attracted to them for a boy, what a man looks like.
Yeah.
But we as parents are the most influential people in our children's lives. And if we get to hold a mirror up to them and some of the things that the world doesn't like about them, like we live in this world that wants everybody to be an extrovert. If you're an extrovert, you are going to be elected president of the United States. But for some of us who are introverts, we're not going to get applauded. We don't like applause for being an introvert, but we can show them that God actually made them that way on purpose and how important they are to us.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. We're going to get into these five. Phil just walked in.
Yay.
Hi, welcome.
Hey, hey.
Welcome to back. And thank you for picking up Scarlett. Scarlett is back. How are you feeling? Do you want to this is a family podcast.
Yes.
This
How
is
you
Scarlett.
Doing, Scarlett?
Hi.
What? Why are you home from school? What happened?
I just don't feel great.
That's a great reason to come home. Well, are you good? We're going to be talking, and you're welcome to listen, and you can choose what you want to do, but we're going to be doing some of this stuff. So if you have any wisdom, let us know, okay?
I missed the actual final crafting of what this podcast is going to be, but listening to what Diane just said, I have a scripture.
Oh, yes. That's what we want.
Well, just Psalm 139.
Yes.
I will give thanks to you, O God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
So
that's great. Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't even come up with it. We came up with a bunch of other ones, but we didn't have that. You're such a master.
Oh, see, I didn't.
You're such a master at this.
No, that's just the Lord.
But isn't that
weakness.
What we want?
Yes.
We want our children to, in order for them to connect with God in the way that we hope and pray and spend our lives helping them to do, to connect, reconnect intimately with God, they have to know who God wired them to be.
Yes.
Or they'll be self-rejecting and trying to live up to somebody else's expectations.
Yep, yep.
When God made them fearfully and
wonderfully made.
And what I hear you say is, because he did it in your life, he likes the way he made you.
Exactly.
He likes you. Yep.
What a relief that was for me to realize there's not something wrong with me. He likes the way he made me.
Yeah.
And we want our kids just knowing that from the get-go.
Yes.
They're still going to fight the messages that they aren't the ideal. They will. You can't protect them from everything. But we as parents at least can be that safe refuge.
You are enjoying content brought to you by Intentional, a crowdfunded nonprofit that desires to help families and marriages all around the world in the area of discipleship and spiritual formation.
This offering is completely free, thanks to the generosity of our growing community of Legacy Builders. Legacy Builders is a group of people from all around the world that give monthly to fuel this dream that we have in our hearts of seeing discipleship to Jesus in the family become a way of life. A monthly gift of $5, $10, or even $30 can continue to fuel this ministry forward. Our dream is to invite people like you to join and partner with us at a financial level and see this work integrated into families. So as you listen to this podcast, would you prayerfully consider joining us? Would you allow the Spirit to lead you, even if it's just to a few dollars a month? Thank you so much, and may the Spirit of Jesus give you wisdom, clarity, and joy as you pray about joining us. And if you want to join today, go to intentionalparents.org and click on Give.
We have five things we're going to move through. And so as far as the responsibility to help your children understand who they are, the first thing is to teach them how to care for their body, which I know might seem like one that is like, what? But that's a huge part of teaching them to understand who they are.
It is.
And it's a big deal. I know it's funny because Duke is, he's almost four. He'll be 14 in the summer. And he's getting that stage as a boy where he's becoming a man. And all of a sudden, the last 3 months, he just shot up, you know, physically. His voice is deep and he's lifting weights. Oh, I don't know if I told you this. So I go to a gym and I was like, hey, do you want to go with me? And he's like, I think I want to join the gym with you. I want to do the whole thing. So we're about to do and go into that world. But like he is, he has some goals. Like he's doing however many, like trying to do 100 push-ups a day.
I know. He was over here, Pops, I did 100 push-ups and 100 crunches.
And then he's like, I'm going to get a pull-up. But he's like really tall. So doing a pull-up for his really long arms and his whole body weight, he's got to be really strong and he's getting really close. But it's really funny. Like something just switched in him where he goes, oh, I feel better if I move my body. And if I don't eat garbage all the time, just once in a while, I actually feel better. And, and I just have a whole different perspective. And it's been really interesting. You know, obviously we've taught him some of that. And it's probably more that he sees it in our world. But he also biologically is really... he feels a ton better. His biology feels different when he moves. And I would argue probably most people do, but that's just it's interesting because that's not just something that is in a parenting arena. That's a biblical thing, right? That's 1 Corinthians 13. I know you were going to share it.
Well, 1 Corinthians 6, actually.
Oh, 6. Sorry.
A little snippet of a phrase in the New Living says, the Lord cares about our bodies. Now, this is a passage on sexual immorality. Why not to get involved in sexual immorality?
Yeah.
Okay. But it, embedded in this are some key phrases that show us why. What is the why? Is it because it's just wrong to do? No, he said the Lord actually cares about our bodies. He's he's looking at our bodies. He created them. Verse 15 says, your bodies are actually parts of Christ. And he's asking this group, Paul is writing to this group, he's saying, don't you realize that your body is actually a part of Christ? And, you know, it's hard for us to understand. This is all metaphorical. But then in verse 19, or don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, the temple in Scripture starts in Genesis. The temple motif is creation. This is where we meet God. The Garden of Eden is a type of a temple where the presence of God is there. This is where intimacy with God, not just following the rules, but actually walking and talking and being so connected and so one with Christ, that is the end goal of our walk with God. And it's not going to be actualized completely until we see him face to face. But this is what we're trying to do with our kids, is help our children cultivate a whole life where God is present. It's the idea between in First John 15, abiding means being present to God. And we do that in our bodies. We don't do that just in our spirits, kind of like a couple generations before taught us, almost that bodies are bad things. But actually, God created our body to alert us to the presence of God, because our bodies are actually temples
and
of God.
You know, so that this all goes together, but you're talking mm-hmm. about, you know, it's obvious that that it verses in the context of sexual morality. Mm-hmm. What I find really interesting is Romans 1 talks okay. about this crazy moment when everyone's just becoming sinful and women are now exchanging their natural mm-hmm. desire for men with women and men to men. And then it basically talks about how the culmination of all of that is yes. they suffer the wrath of their own sin in their bodies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what I hear a lot of people talking about, or what they're not connecting, is sex outside of marriage is wrong. Yes, it is. Biblically, that's very true. But what we never usually talk about is the fact that that's actually built into that actual commandment is safety for your body. Yes. Because what happens, obviously, STDs, the whole world, you can destroy, your body can be destroyed very quickly mm-hmm. when you don't live under God's design. Yeah. And so I think it's like when you teach your kids about caring for their body, not only is it like, do you exercise? Do you move your body? Do you actually feed it well? Do you even know how to do those things? Mm-hmm. But also, like when we talk about not having sex before marriage, people can easily just go, that's so legalistic, whatever, I'm gonna do my thing. It's actually for your safety too. It's actually for your flourishing.
It is.
And I think that's mm-hmm. another thing that just came to mind while we were talking.
I think
so.
It's good.
Caring for the body is important, but what other thoughts do we have on that?
Well, I just think like the phrase, you know, obviously this can be overdone, but listening to your body. Yes. We have a lot of like, listen to how I feel. I'm not talking about that, but like, our bodies give us information all right. the time. When we're mm-hmm. tired, it's our body telling us we need to rest. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of like helping our kids understand that and understand yeah. what that feels like. Yeah. Or when we're anxious, it usually shows up in our body first.
It does.
So being able to recognize that like feeling in our gut that we're feeling anxious about something, which we're going to get to emotions.
No, but the very thing like, I did this morning, first thing, 5 o'clock this morning, I was feeling anxious and kind of discombobulated.
Yeah.
I love that word, but you know, very common for me. And I just knew, okay, so I quieted myself and listened and said, Lord, what is this about?
Yeah.
Immediately a scripture came into my mind and that set me off on a really fun study. And just almost like it's almost like when Jesus was calming the storm and,
sure.
you know, mm-hmm. the disciples were all scared and freaking out. And what is the word? They would have been dysregulated. They were scared.
Okay? Yeah.
They were like in panic zone.
Yep.
Yeah.
And these are like seasoned fishermen. It was a traumatic experience for them. Yeah. And Jesus calmed the waves.
Yes.
I think that's a beautiful example of how we want to teach our children to sit in the presence of God and allow him to calm the waves.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Yes.
And I think teaching some of the, like, I would love to hear from your perspective, Elizabeth, like what are some of those ways to teach them to care for their body? Because we obviously have hygiene, right? But we're talking about more than that. We're talking about like a great example. When you feel anxious, mm-hmm. what do you do with that? Mm-hmm. And I loved your word that, what was the big word you just
discombobulated.
So discombobulate is great. Last night we were all hanging out and Scarlett said, she was talking about a sweater. You were talking about some sweater. She's like, that sweater is atrocious. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so homeschooled. I love that word. What a great word she used. Oh, she was describing it to someone else. I overheard it. But yeah, like what are some of the things? Because I know we've had to learn a lot about that just for ourselves, but also then we've had to teach our kids a lot of that stuff. Like what you're feeling right now in your body is anxiety. Yeah. So, you know, what are some of those things? And I know, Phil, you have something right after that or maybe in connection with that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of like...
I'm just thinking of breathing. I'm thinking like we have to teach, like, here's what you're feeling. So we talk to them about things with their body.
I think it's like it's just an open conversation. Like, or even things like I think about one of our kids likes, will often want to talk about a bunch of stuff at night when they're tired. And so I'm oftentimes saying, you know, I'm wondering if a better mm-hmm. time to talk about everything you're feeling would be in the morning after you've mm-hmm. gotten some sleep. Mm-hmm. Because I know that they're just really exhausted and they might not feel things so strongly in the morning. Mm-hmm. Now, then you have to pick up the conversation the next morning to make sure you're not being dismissive.
Right.
Of, I don't want to talk, you know. But I think it's just when our kids are especially younger, it's us noticing it for them. Mm-hmm. It's that whole when we talk about the box, that piece of order, like looking at it of like, we're looking at the whole lens. What did they eat today? How much sleep did they get last night? What did we do yesterday? Why might they be acting out today? Does mm-hmm. it have to do with because they need to eat some good food and they need to sleep? Is that why they're acting out? Or are they feeling really anxious? So it's they're lashing out in anger and trying to control everything. Mm-hmm. So I think when they're younger, it's really us monitoring all of that and then helping them see in a curious way. Are you feeling, I wonder if you're feeling tired. Yeah. I wonder, you know, I think that's how, at least how we're going about it in our own home. But what's tricky about it is you have to notice those things in yourself before you can teach your kids to notice them.
You have to train yourself not to be quite so reactive as we are, because, you know, we correct behavior so quickly sometimes that we aren't, and we need to do that. We absolutely need to do that. Teach our children that they can control their responses, that that kind of emotional self-control is just basic to being a good human being. But we also then need to dive in and say, you know, asking them what's going on here.
Yeah.
You know.
You're pointing at me.
Well, you look like you're going to say something. And
well, I'm still stuck.
Hold on. You've been saying so many funny things today. I loved your... You had so many good jokes today. You were talking about this book. We talked about the title, The Best of You. He's like, I'm going to write a book called The Best of Me. And then chapter one's going to be how great of a dad I was, how great of a husband I am, how great of a leader I am. And what was the last?
My sequel is My Best Life Now.
My Best Life Now. Anyway, I just loved it. That was really funny. I'm just identifying that.
How much dad loves the title of that.
Yeah, I don't like the title. No, everything you're saying is wonderful. No, I'm still stuck on back on Diane's first verse. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we're saying to our kids. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians 1 says. And so, you know, that should be the motivation to realize our bodies are gifts from God. And yet we all know everything that's wrong with them. And the older you get, you know, your body isn't what it once was, you know?
Yeah.
I can't play basketball anymore. It's a great death in my life because of my knee surgery, you know?
And how long did it take you to dispose of your
collection? Oh, I kept the shoes up there for a long time because I couldn't admit that my days were over. I made it to about 60. But but anyway, you know, so I'm still stuck on that verse. Your body's a temple. And it's also a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. Yes. And then you mentioned immorality. And, you know, one of the things that grieves me is it seems so many people view the scriptures these days as suggestions.
Suggestions. I know.
You know, like, no, God actually commanded that for your good.
Yeah.
And obeying it will bring blessing, and disobeying, you'll be harming your own body or harming your own self, you know. Yeah. And so, you know, right before that, it says the immoral man sins against his own body.
Yes.
And so just, I'm still stuck on this, like gift of the body. But then, go ahead. What are you going to say, babe?
Well, just even the fact that this is context of sexual immorality, but in the context that we're talking about, caring for your body, even to realize that we can actually sin against our own bodies.
That's a crazy thing.
What a crazy thought.
Yeah.
And how many of us do it and we spiritualize it, you know, we're pushing ourselves so hard that we're just erupting it. Everybody around us, we're completely intolerant, rude, but we are doing it to serve Jesus, you know.
But we're not honoring our body's limits.
It's our sinning against our body, and in the process, sinning against other people. Well,
then she got me thinking. Then I had to find this verse. It's in 2 Corinthians 4.
Okay.
Because we're talking about this treasure, you know, the Holy
Spirit.
How
to care for their body.
Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit's God. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
It's not it's a He. And that made me think of 2 Corinthians 4, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. See, our bodies are earthen vessels. They're not, these bodies are not made for eternity. When you're young, you don't even think about that. But when you're old, you realize, you know, that we're going to get a new body. But I think it's cool to teach even your little kids, your body is a gift, but you're going to get an eternal one one day.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to have, bodies in eternity. Jesus appeared in a body. I mean, he could go through walls and stuff, but he was eating with them and drinking with them. And so, but anyway, it says in 2 Corinthians 4, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power may be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken. It goes on, always caring about in the body, the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus
may be manifested in our body. So God's talking about the body here, but it's talking about the life of God inside of us. That, you know, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. And then later on, it says, don't lose heart. Verse 16, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So I just, and it talks about momentary light affliction and stuff like that. But I feel like to teach our kids that this is a, that we have this treasure in our bodies and that we're, and
it's the Holy Spirit.
God's given the Holy Spirit and he's in us and it's important how we live.
Yeah. And even the idea that therefore we care for our body because we live out of our bodies.
Yeah.
We worship out of our bodies.
Oh, yes. And you've been telling Sloan and Birdie all sorts of things about heaven because as I put them to bed at night, they're like, hey, so Pop said that Jackson, their dog's probably going to be in heaven. So we're looking forward to meeting him.
Not everybody agrees with that, but I agree with Randy Alcorn and Billy Graham. They both think Pops will be there.
I know. But I'm laughing because they're like, I was like, well, I know that's what Pops thinks. I said, hopefully he's right. I don't know.
Well, but since Brooke, you don't really like dogs.
You don't want Django in heaven. You don't even want Django in your house.
But listen, we tolerate. We do things for other people. The other thing was that they said, like Pop said, we're also going to be able to fly. And I was like, oh my goodness. So I said, sweeties, I think there's enough biblical room to maybe interpret that.
Well, I figure if Jesus can go through a wall,
that's it. No, I mean,
and then he ascended.
No, I agree that it's a stretch.
This might be a little extra biblical theology here.
At the same time, it's really sweet to have these conversations with them because they're like, their curiosity is coming out. But yes, to teach your kids that like, hey, this whole thing is real and the Spirit's in your body and to care for your body is a really important part. And remember the umbrella we're talking about is your parents as a parent, your responsibility to help your kids.
Yeah.
Understand who they are and they have to understand how their body works. They have to understand that you need sleep and you're going to say every time we say to our kids, you're tired. The answer is always, we are not tired.
Yes.
We're not. We're fine. Like they're falling apart. Like, no, you need to sleep. And so I think even just helping in those practical arenas and God does that for us. He cares for us and gives us space. So
encountering the message that they're going to see on Instagram where all the beautiful people with 9 million followers are, you know, I mean, I think kids need to know you're beautifully made by God and help your kids not to compare that to the images they're being bombarded with.
So I think it's the last thing. We'll go to the second one. But one thing just to highlight that's going on in culture right now, which I do think is very interesting. No one calls it biblical, but it is all incredibly biblical, which is all the neuroscience that is coming out. Everyone's saying a couple things that are really consistent with the scriptures. One, anybody that's like really healthy is doing a handful of really interesting things. They're all suggesting that you meditate for at least 10 minutes to an hour a day. And think about nothing is what they say, or just like get to a space of calm, right? So think about reading the scriptures in the morning. That's the first thing. Another thing they're saying is move your body. Like actually moving your body every day has so much added health benefits that it's hard to even understand. Yeah. And thinking about God's design again. Eating just sensible foods, right? Mm-hmm. Not going crazy in one end or another. There's all these other things about like just don't drink alcohol because essentially it's really bad for your brain. Mm-hmm. And I'm not advocating for drinking or not drinking. I'm pointing out like this is what neuroscience is. Like these are all the popular things right now.
Yep.
There's other things.
How God designed it.
This is a little crass, but it's also very interesting. There's this whole thing right now going on in the men's world, and that's a whole thing I don't even know if you know about. It's called semen retention, and it's the idea that you don't actually make love or the whole thing. And the idea, but here's the reason why. All of these guys are realizing, oh, like when I take space to stop lusting and stop thinking about this all the time, my mind's clearer and I'm actually a healthier human. Now they're calling it all sorts of different things, but there's all of these benefits. And these guys are like saying, I'm having this spiritual awakening from actually saying no to these different pleasures or desires that I have in my body. All I'm trying to point out is,
what about that thing that you keep doing?
Oh,
the cold water.
Exactly. Like putting yourself in a little bit of pain to actually experience benefits. All I'm trying to say is this stuff is like all over the Bible. God's like teaching us this all the time. Yeah. And we're putting all these pop culture spins on it.
Yes.
But the reality is God like gave us that a long time ago.
I'm just laughing right now because you're totally right about this. Like one of the things that, you know, Jamarc teaches clearly in his spiritual practices, spiritual formation, silence and solitude.
Yes.
And I've seen you go away in a silence and solitude retreat. But like people that
I have no idea where he's at spiritually. Aaron Rodgers, the famous quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, is driving the leadership crazy because he's on a 4-day darkness retreat.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
We were just learning about this.
Eternity, no light and just locking yourself to decide whether he's going to stay with them.
Yes.
And they're like, you know, they want to move forward. Are you going to stay as our quarterback or not? You know?
Yeah.
But I was thinking, wow, you know. And I was listening to these commentators just laugh. They're going, I couldn't do that for 4 days. I could do it maybe for 24 hours because I'd sleep 10 of them.
Yeah. And,
but you're right. It's like these are biblical. And Jesus would go away to the wilderness and he would spend time with the Father. And that's a spiritual practice, but he was with the Father.
And that's all I'm trying to point out is that we're talking about something that now culture and neuroscience is saying, hey, these things.
We discovered something.
But actually, this is like already built into to what it looks like to walk with Jesus. And I find it so funny that all of these people are talking about these things that are actually for their health and their emotional wellness. And it's all stuff that Jesus has been saying, hey, just like do what I do. And that's what Jesus did. He did all this stuff.
It reminds me of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun.
Nothing.
Yeah. So you think we found something new? Not really.
What were we going to say?
But if you think about, like, you know, we're all learning a lot of this stuff now, but you think about if we take all of this stuff we're learning and we start to apply it to a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, it is like a part of their way of operating.
Yes.
Can you imagine the gift that is? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm thinking of like our almost 7-year-old, Birdie, who we've talked about a lot. Her body and mind work differently. Mm-hmm. And she's been in therapy for years. And I've learned this whole language from her occupational therapist to when she's kind of like going crazy and having a hard time focusing, rather than like her therapist saying something negative, she says, I can see that your body really needs to jump. Why don't we do some jumping? Because she knows it's going to calm her body down.
Yeah.
And like just being able to, what she's doing in that moment is helping Birdie understand everything you're feeling in your body and your brain and what might you be able to do to calm it all down so that you can do the things you need to do. Or like she has a neuropsychologist who helped us understand it's this word called perseveration, where her brain gets stuck on things and perseverates. And so he was explaining to us when she was not even 4, said, you guys need to start using the phrase, it seems like your brain is stuck. Why don't I help you get unstuck? And he said, she's going to resist you. She's going to not understand what you're talking about.
She still does.
But the whole point is so that when she's in high school or college and she's sitting in a classroom and she's overwhelmed by the sound of the air conditioner and the feeling of her jeans and she's having a hard time paying attention to the teacher, she can know, my brain is stuck. I need to get up and I need to walk around the halls so I can come back and sit down and pay attention.
Yes.
And it's all with this greater purpose so that she can do it herself.
Yes.
And I think of when we're training our little kids to understand this so that they can recognize when they're 25, 35, I just need to take a nap.
Yeah.
And then I need to wake up and I need to read my Bible because, and that's going to make me feel centered.
Yes.
You know, like just recognizing there is such a greater purpose and what a gift when we can start this stuff really young.
If you're enjoying this content and you want to go deeper, we have an amazing resource that we want to tell you about. It's the Intentional Film Series, Raising Passionate Jesus Followers. Now, this is an incredible tool for you for spiritual formation in the family. And we created this film series to help parents in their God-given task to raise and disciple their own children. Now, our hope is that we're able to help you and give you some of the tools that I know we so desperately need as we're in the process of raising our kids, and Phil and Diane have actually raised their kids. This is a 9-session film series on the process of what raising a passionate Jesus follower actually looks like. There's some workable solutions in here. There's a bunch of wisdom from the scriptures, and there's a bunch of practical help in your journey as you are raising your children. We cover all sorts of things like parental roles, goals versus values. What is discipline versus punishment? How do I create a heart of obedience in my child where they actually want to obey? What does a heart of self-control look like? Or how do I even help my child in the process of character development? We cover that and so many more things. You can use this film series in a variety of ways. You can use it at your home, preferably with your spouse if that's applicable, with a group of friends or in your community, or even through your local church. All you need to do is head over to our website, intentionalparents.org, click on film series, and then follow the prompts. We have a bunch of other resources there that you can check out, but we do pray that this blesses you in your pursuit of raising passionate Jesus followers. So we have to teach them how to care for their bodies, mm-hmm. that yeah. it matters, that it's important. There was a lot on that one. So the second one is to help them identify what they are feeling or thinking about something.
Yes.
And this is huge. Much more complex.
Huge,
but I would say much more complex.
And part of us resists this because we've seen people take this to such an extreme that...
Yeah, give an example of what you mean by that.
Well, I had a woman say to me once, because I'm feeling this, it's true.
Yes.
Oh. And then that's one. That one's maybe more this generation, but I came from the generation that read, there was actually a book by a well-known Christian psychologist that was called Emotions, Can You Trust Them?
Wow.
And the answer was no.
Hmm.
So wow. we were actually taught. So somewhere in there, I mean, mm-hmm. those are different. You can't just take books and phrases yeah. out of context of a generation. But somewhere in there is the truth.
Yeah.
Now, I cannot completely trust my emotions to tell me the truth. That is absolutely true. I might just really need a nap
yeah.
and not need to have this 3-hour conversation about that I insist that I'm right about.
Yes.
And at the same time, just because I'm responding, my emotions are responding in a certain way to what somebody says, doesn't make that person absolutely wrong. There's so much we now know about damage done to us, messages that we absorbed, just personality, some of the personality theories.
Well, triggering, right?
Triggering.
I learned about that triggering word. I was triggering you yesterday, Elizabeth, big time. I yep. said something and she was just like, all of a sudden I was like, whoa, this response is very different from what I just said. Seems like yeah. this might have something more behind it.
Emotions tell us something,
yeah.
but they don't always tell us the truth. And
that's
so we
true.
Need to remain curious about them and teach our kids to be able to put a word to them and remain curious and go a little deeper instead of just reacting.
Yes.
That's what I think this psychologist meant is don't go around reacting to everything you feel in the moment.
Yeah.
Mm. Or I love the way John Mark, I think he probably read it someplace else, but I always attribute it to him because he said it. Think about what you think about. So mm-hmm. your emotions and your mind are you can't disconnect them from each other.
No.
So I have long believed that I can think myself out of a hole that I've dug myself into, you know, by thinking correctly, my emotions will sometimes regulate, you know, I'll mm-hmm. be able to say, oh, I'm feeling that because I was feeling sorry for myself. And reality is I'm really grateful for this life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's the Colossians 2 thing. We yeah. were just talking about this because Phil, actually, it was great to see you on the YouVersion Bible app the other day. See your smiling face. That was great. But we did it. All of us did some. And so one of them was Colossians 3:2, and it was all about this. Set your mind on things above. And that idea that mm-hmm. feelings, Dallas Willard said, I believe, feelings are great followers, but they're disastrous masters, meaning that you can't,
yes.
if your feelings yes. lead, it can destroy you. So teaching your kids how to identify what they're feeling or thinking about something
yes.
is incredibly important. Phil.
Well, when Diane said, think about what you think about, I love that phrase. The first time I heard it was John Mark preached it, mm-hmm. but yeah, it's connected to the verse in Proverbs 23, verse 7, as a man thinks within himself, so he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And another way it translates, a man reckons in his soul. So it's like, we're always talking to ourselves.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, David did that. You
yeah.
know, why are you down, so downcast, oh my soul?
Yes.
Put
yes.
your hope in God. You know, so he, you know, he's wrestling.
But here's what I love about David. He actually, instead of blaming everyone or acting out, he actually recognized that his soul was, in the old New American Standard word, downcast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was sad. He was whatever he was able to name his emotion.
Yes.
Even doing what we kind of scoff at sometimes when pop psychology pops in you know, even talk to his emotions. Like yeah. Talking to talk himself, to his soul. Like you said.
Yeah.
And oh, he did that all over. Him,
always yeah. bring it back to
so God. I said to myself, that's actually yes. in the Bible. Yeah. And we all do it. And it's okay. It's not unhealthy in
no,
the right
great.
Context.
It's
but
great.
The thing about David that you pointed out to me a little while ago, and now I see it everywhere. And then last night we had our worship team gathering at you guys' house, Brooke and Elizabeth. Yeah. And Dan, one of our guitar players, pointed this out that, you know, there's a lot of lament psalms where David's like, my enemies are against me. But he always in the end says, but I trust in you, oh God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's an example for us of how to feel deeply yes. and wrestle with what's going on inside of him, but then surrender it to God. So I'm almost done here.
Love
so
it.
The, as a man thinks within himself, so he is. So we need to think about what we think about because it affects how we live. Because right thinking leads to right living and wrong thinking leads to wrong living. But yes. I think your question that you've been asking the Lord, mm-hmm. like you did it again this morning,
yep.
you, but I'm going to be quiet. What's this about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she okay. shared. Yeah, she shared.
So
it's kind of like David, search me, oh God, and yeah, see but, if there is any harmful way in me. And so it's inviting God into, I can't even tell you what I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm. So you, sure. you were feeling anxious mm-hmm. and you didn't know why. But here... The beautiful thing I think that we're trying to say we want to teach our kids is sure they should talk to you your their parents about it, but begin to teach them yeah. to go to God.
Yeah.
And then that made me think of Jesus in Matthew 6, which you know, right before the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus teaches
yeah,
Jesus how to pray, he says this thing that I just every time I read it, your Father knows what you need
yes.
before you ask him.
Mm. Yeah.
So teaching them to go to the Father,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, and, yes. and teaching them to be able to get their answers from Him and their encouragement mm-hmm. from Him
yeah.
is what we're trying to do as hopefully more mature followers of Jesus.
Yeah.
And I would say that the way we teach them to go to the Father is by being the kind of father that is so approachable, the mother who's so approachable
yes.
that they know you actually want to hear
yes.
what's going on inside
yes.
of them. And so you're inviting them to, please tell me, I want to be there with mm-hmm. you in this. You're showing empathy, which is actually experiencing what they're feeling in mm-hmm. that moment with them. If a parent can begin even just to give glimpses of that, none of us are going to ever become just like experts at it. But if we can mm-hmm. give glimpses, I think it turns our children automatically without ever saying to our kids, you need to go to God with that emotion. You know?
No, no.
It just becomes automatic.
Yeah.
Of course, mom and dad want to hear me. They want to hear yeah. what I'm feeling. They're asking me specific questions.
And then all of that is what I love. That's all true. I think in the thick of it right now, the thing that is really interesting is our kids have the ability when they're thinking huge things and feeling huge things
yeah.
to really dysregulate us.
Yeah.
So, yes. so they really mess with, sure. like they bring up like when they're not able to control their bodies and their emotions because they're not sure yet, it leads me most of the time to be in a place of like, it dysregulates me. So when I know, if I have a heads up of like, okay, this particular kid is needing something and they're very dysregulated, I have to have this whole like pep talk to myself yeah. about like, okay, this kid's going to be really dysregulated. So because of that, I need to be super aware of being incredibly calm, incredibly, you know, basically neutral about the situation, identify the feelings and love them well, but basically not spend too much time in that yeah. space, giving them space because I will quickly become undone.
Right.
And so I even think that's important when you're in the thick of all this is you're teaching them how to think and feel because it also is something that you need yourself. You
yes.
need to know that for yourself. And then you also need to be prepared when they are so out of sorts, how quickly it can bring you out of sorts. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a very important part of this
and
for
maybe
parents.
Be compassionate mm-hmm. towards yourself a little bit. You know?
And I'm thinking this is where husbands and wives can really work
yeah.
as a team.
Yes.
Like now we have a whole language around it where we'll just say to each other, I'm regulated, I can do it.
Yeah.
Like, or I'm dysregulated, you got to go in.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, tap
oh
each
goodness.
Other in and out because on any given day, hopefully we're not both horribly dysregulated at the same time, but we have to rely on each other. Like this happened yesterday where
yeah.
it's like, I'm trying to connect before I correct, but I can't connect. So you got to go in,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to correct before I connect.
It's going to be really awful.
Like, it's
but it's
working.
This whole idea, you know, and I actually love these words because I think this is so how God does it to us. But the whole, the word attunement, like as a parent, one of the most powerful things we can do for our kids is attune to them, which just means look them in the eye and say, I see you, I hear you, I love you, and I'm right here. Like if you can just do those four things, you don't have to have the answers. You don't have to know exactly what to do from there.
It's amazing.
But that, you know, some of our greatest needs is for God really and other people to see us, to hear us, to affirm that they love us and they're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. But if we can just do that for our kids before we correct them, before we teach them how to think, which are all really important things.
Yeah.
But they can't hear us until like what is David talking about? He's crying out and identifying the emotion and he's eventually getting to, I don't need to despair. I can hope in God. But he's always crying out and lamenting first. And our kids don't know how to do that. They need us to sit there and say, you know, and the next word is mirroring. Like, I see that you're feeling really sad. Yeah. Or I see that you're really mad, even when they've just done something awful.
We can give just a quick, like, 2 seconds on that. So if parents are like, what does that look like? I think repeating back to your kids is the biggest thing we've learned. So Birdie will, at night, it's always at night, she'll be feeling all sorts of things about school and about anything that's come up at night, especially if you're a parent, you know, that everything comes up. Yeah. And so she just starts going, I don't like this and I don't like my bed and these blank, like she doesn't like anything at night. And so, and I was like, when she'd start saying this at first as a dad, I'm like, well, this is a great bed.
You're trying
and
look, to solve the problem.
You're fine.
Why are you being so ungrateful about the things that you have? You know, like that perspective. And then I started doing this from one of our therapists helped us see this. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to try just like completely blinded to it. And so I just start repeating back everything she says. I don't like my bed. Oh, I see that you really don't like your bed. She's like, yeah, because it has like this stuff on it. And then like sometimes it makes noise and I get out of bed. It wakes up Sloan first. And then she gets up at the same time. And I just want to be alone. Okay, I see that you're needing alone time. You like alone time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when I'm alone, then I can think. And sometimes I like to read and just have space. I'm like, you like to have your own space. And she's just, it's insane. She's just unwinding herself. Yeah. I'm not doing anything.
And really talking about the things that make her feel anxious. And for her especially, where she it's hard for her to unpack all of that.
But by the end,
she's like calm and fine and ready to go to sleep.
But that's what the weirdest part is. Like it only took about 5 minutes and she's like, okay, well, maybe could I just sleep on the floor in my room instead of the bed? I'm like, sure, no problem. Yeah, like if that's the... So it went from like, I'm not going to sleep, the world's over, to can I just sleep on the floor? And that's but what that's the connecting. It's
interesting. How often is that how we talk to God?
Yes.
God, I'm anxious about all of these things and all of these things. And by the time we're done praying, we hear God, we feel God. We, you know, I'm thinking of that's Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy.
Yeah.
And then because he turned his ear to me, or there's other translations that says because he bends down to listen. And listens.
That's a new living.
And then it says, I will call on him as long as I live. Yeah. Right after it's because that's he right. turned his ear to me.
Yes.
And we as their parents get to bend down and listen, literally bend down and listen, turn our ear to them, attune to them, help them understand what they're feeling. And then we can bring in, this is what the Bible talks about, that you really shouldn't hit your sister. Yeah. Like, you know, it doesn't. And I think this is where the disconnect, where a lot of, you know, the gentle parenting movement, which has so much good stuff in it, that this that part gets left out, is that we still can correct. We still can set boundaries. Oh. We still can say
We're going to talk about that at the end. The two things that are really important. Yes.
Okay.
But this power of connecting with them first. My therapist says connection before correction. Doesn't mean you don't correct. You absolutely correct.
Yeah.
But if you connect with them first, then they can hear the correction.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of that is physical, connecting with them physically. I've noticed with your youngest Sloan.
Yes.
When we watched him for 8 days a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you, by the
and
way.
Thank you.
Very, the first couple of days, all of her very, let's see, inherited stubbornness was coming out. And I recognize it just because I might also respond that way at times. Just like digging her heels in and no was the answer to everything. That as soon as I would touch her, I know that her love language, she's a cuddler. Yeah. And I, of course, phrased it like, you know, Alma just needs a cuddle. Can you just do me a favor and come cuddle me for a few minutes? Just like you could just feel the tension leave her body. So for some children, that connection is very verbal.
Yes.
But for others, it's just put your arms around them, touch. No. Obviously, Birdie would be the opposite.
Yeah.
Do not touch Birdie. Yeah. She's upset. She is upset. Not touch her. But
she'll scream at you. She'll scream.
You just touch her in a loving, not a controlling way, but in a loving, kind of comforting way. And within a couple of days, she was feeling comfortable. She was feeling heard. She knew that she was being considered. She wasn't just one of the crowd.
Yeah.
And then she went back to being her just absolutely goofy, delightful, hilarious, cooperative self.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But had I just corrected her.
No. You would have gotten more opposition.
She can out-stubborn even me.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, Phil and I were in a assessment center at one time as to whether they were assessing as to whether we could survive the rigors of planting a church. Yeah. And one of the reasons that you felt like I might survive it is because I'm so stubborn. So, I mean, I'm speaking both as an adult.
That's good.
And who is stubborn and who, you can see that as a strength and it's definitely a weakness. Mm-hmm. But
what you're feeling. At
the but time, I think it gave me insight into how best to deal with some. Mm-hmm. So sometimes one or the other parent is best suited to deal with where Phil was just lost. Like all of a sudden, Sloan was so uncooperative that you could see it maybe even triggering Phil. And he was looking at me like this lost little boy, like, what in the world do I do with this mess of a four-year-old?
Yeah, she can destroy.
Has she growled at you yet?
She needed the rod of correction, which we were unable to imply.
In reality, she needed was to be cuddled and to be sure feel safe. And
she absolutely often, her stubbornness usually comes out of a lack of that. It becomes defiant, but it's always usually the core. And that's so funny because that is exactly like. She the other night she was mad that I wasn't letting her get out of bed for like the fifth time to get something, and she goes, "Grr!" I was like, "What are you doing?" And she's like, "Grr!" And I was like, "You're not a tiger. Like, you're a human. Just say that you're upset."
Yeah,
exactly. And she's like, "I'm mad at you." And I was like, "Okay."
But here's the story in scripture that I just love. I just love it, and it's in 1 Kings 19. Read it when we're done. I'm just going to refer to it. Basically, Elijah, who's amazing, right?
Yep.
Spiritual giant. He'd just done spiritual giant kind of stuff. So he was exhausted. And in verse 13, Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. Mm-hmm. So he's panicked. He's alone. He went alone into the desert. He isolates himself.
Yep.
He actually sent his traveling companion away from him, sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. He's suicidal at this point.
Wow.
I've had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life, for I'm no better than my ancestors. I mean, he is depressed, discouraged, and terrified. And God does not address him at that point in time. He put him down to sleep. He took a nap. And an angel woke him up from his nap and said, get up and eat. And he gave him bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and he drank, and then he fell back asleep. This happens another time further in the chapter. And Elijah's still feeling so sorry for himself and still exhausted. And yet God never addresses his false statements that he's throwing out there. He just takes care of them.
Yes.
Sometimes that's what we have to do. Help them identify what they're feeling or thinking and care for their bodies. Yes. Give them some nice warm, Elizabeth, your homemade sour dough bread, a jar full of water, a good nap.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, adults, we're trying to learn self-care, but we teach our kids to care for their bodies.
Well, let's move on to the next one. But I did want, I think that's a brilliant way to just sum up that idea. And for the little kids, with those who have little ones, I know something that we do that has been helpful is we try to speak back what they're feeling. Yes. So they can start putting feelings yes. to words. And yeah. so that's just practically like when they're really mad, I see you're angry, or I see you're happy, or I see you're discouraged, like yeah. trying to help them identify a feeling with a word. Right. And that starts mm-hmm. when they're really young. And yeah. so I know that we try to do that.
You're really young, but I think it's especially important when they're starting puberty and
oh gosh,
there yes. there are so many feelings yes. happening so fast yeah. that they desperately need help making sense of.
Yes,
and that usually comes out as anger or disrespect or yeah. anxiety. Totally. But underneath, they're starting to feel insecure.
Yeah,
do I matter? Am I beautiful? That's right. Do I have what it takes? Like they're starting to feel those things. So yeah. when we can help them acknowledge yeah. what is coming out, but then yeah. peel back the layers mm-hmm. of, could it be that you're feeling lonely and you're yeah. feeling maybe yeah. like rejected by your friends because, yeah. or this insecure happened. About your friendships or,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And they I think may, it's especially they may important not thing. Respond in this beautiful, soft, no. oh, mother, you understand to be
no.
so.
No. Bad. Most of the time they don't.
I don't even know if they ever have. I'm trying to think of like a moment when they actually first time around without them being taught. And I think that's a good reminder that we have to actually yes. teach our kids. How do you respond to when somebody is kindly and gently talking to you? You got to teach yeah. them, hey, the best way to kind of respond to that is this or whatever. Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, here's a few ways that you can partner with us in this ministry. First is to give. Intentional Parents is a nonprofit and we rely on the generous giving of our partners. So please head over to our website, intentionalparents.org/give, if you would like to become one of our partners through giving. Second is to share it. If this has at all been helpful to you, we encourage you to share it with your friends, your family, and those that you know would be blessed by it. Third is to follow us on social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can find us on Instagram at intentional_parents. And lastly, if you would head over to iTunes, if you enjoyed today's episode, and leave a review on iTunes, this helps us bring more hope, help, and healing for families.